My co-host this morning is Keith Littlewood. He's a functional medicine practitioner based at Optimal Fitness. He's here to take your calls this morning. You can tweet at Suzanne Radford, and you can go to our website, DubaiEye1038.com, and take a look on the Dubai Today page at my blog and see a picture of what I'm having for lunch today. Well, at least what I'm planning to have for lunch. And I want to find out from Keith if it's a healthy, well-balanced lunch, what one should be having to be energized to get the right nutrients. So we'll be taking a look at that in just a short while. Before we do, let's look again at posture. And when you're dealing with postural problems and issues with your clients, Keith, we've sort of explored the causes. We've skimmed the surface, really. But what I'm interested in is, what are the most common sort of issues you see? And when it comes to working on those postural issues, what's the most sort of common protocol program that you follow?
Well, the etiology or the start of postural problems usually starts up at the head, but it can likewise start in the foot as well, and there's a chain reaction. So, for example, forward head posture can come from a faulty breathing pattern, but it can also come from being sat at a desk for long periods of time. As the head migrates forward, the tongue slackens off. As the tongue slackens off, we start to breathe through our mouth a little bit more. That creates looseness up in the lower part of the neck. And then the shoulders start to round out because the middle of the back rounds out as well. So common problems that I will see is neck pain, lower back pain, a lot of jaw dysfunction that people don't know about, but they're just happy that their jaw's clicking all the time. Knee pain is a big one, and lots of shoulder pain as well. But it's usually the first thing I would look at when I do an assessment. The first thing I'm looking at is the way that you're breathing. Then I'm taking measurements related to head, to spine, to pelvis, and see where everything is. There can be dysfunction that comes up from the foot. That's a possibility too. But a lot of stuff does come from down the body. But, you know, It's where you start with it, but breathing is the best place to start.
Okay, so to work on that, one of the things you might do is do some soft tissue work. So you've described that a little bit. So if we're looking at the neck and shoulders, you may go in there, and there are certain pressure points that you're working on to release that tension. Now, what's actually happening to you physiologically? What's happening to your body when you're doing that release?
Yeah, well, as you apply the pressure, you're applying the right pressure so that the body goes, that's a bit tight. Why is that tight? I need to release that. So it's almost like a self-releasing mechanism. It's quite difficult. You can do a little bit on yourself, and I actively encourage clients to empower them to take control of their pain issues. But sometimes you obviously need a specialist who can go in and release the right type of tissues. One of the things that you tend to feel, a bit like you with your rib cage being released earlier on, you feel this just like, it's like a big release and like a warm feeling of you've stopped expending energy efficiently and you've moved back to more of a natural state, more of a homeostasis and balance. So yeah, that's what tends to happen.
And that's a really good point. It's where your body's taking up energy. So it's taking that energy away from you living your life to the full. You know, it's busy working on these areas that are tight, that are suppressed, that are lethargic. And that's taking its toll on all different parts of your body as a consequence.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of other problems. Even people who think they're relatively healthy and, you know, they do lots of running for that. If you look at the mechanics of a typical woman, and a lot of guys now, because they don't have enough lumbopelvic control, you'll see the knee drop inwards. A simple test that you can do is stand on one leg and do a little squat and see where your knee goes. If it's dropping inwards, you don't have any control over the glutes. So why aren't the glutes working that well? Is it because it's something in the ankle? Is it something in the neck that's driving that? Could it be a referral for the internal organs that's basically causing any issues to refer to other nerves? We talked about reflexology earlier on, but when we see gut dysfunction, the gut's intimately linked to the muscles on the side of the leg and also into the muscles in the abdominals. So the food that you could be eating could be causing muscles to become tight in the stomach, which then go in turn and affect the breathing pattern again. So it can be a vicious circle that people just go round and round and round, not seeing the right practitioner. But there's a lot that you can do.
And what's the difference, though, what you're describing to, say, going to have a massage or going to a chiropractor?
Okay, both good services. The problem with that is they're very segmental. When you go for a massage, you're going for a general release of lots of tissues. How many people have actually gone for a massage and then got a bad back because the wrong muscles have been released? Massage is great. It lowers tension. You can come out feeling great. You can come out feeling wiped out because you're letting go of all this energy. Chiropractors do great work as well. But the problem is with a lot of chiropractors, it's just a click, click, and you're being manipulated. bones are relatively inert. They don't move unless they've been used in trauma, a knock that's caused something to go out. But if you get manipulated and then work on the tissue that's working too much to release it, and then do the right type of exercise to stimulate the muscles that aren't working enough, you've got almost a resolve to what you need to do, and that can be ongoing. If you're aware of what muscles are working, what muscles aren't, you know how to go on. That's what I love to do, is to empower my clients so I can see more people. I don't stand over, and once I've done an assessment and release some tissue and give them an exercise program, I don't stand over them. I go, right, off you go, come and see me in 4 or 5 weeks time and let's reassess you, and then let's get you to go on to the next phase. So you work on, first of all, stability and flexibility, then you work on strength, then strength, endurance, and then power. But then women say, why do I need to train power? Well, when you've got a child running at you and they want to be picked up off the floor, how you need to have the strength of a javelin thrower then, or a weightlifter. So you need to have a conditioning program that matches your workload as well. And if your conditioning program doesn't match the workload of having to throw things up like a child or pick bags up off the floor that are quite heavy, that's where injuries start to occur.
Now, Glenn's telling us here that they bought arc supports for my shoes. They're excellent. So what are they?
Well, at the risk of offending lots of podiatrists here, there's an argument here that a lot of people will actually have very flat feet. If you look at Asian people, if you look at people from Africa and people of that origin, they have a lot flatter feet genetically. Do they have other problems related to their structure? There may be some, but if they're genetically formed like that and they have no postural problems, fine. The argument is it's a bit like wearing a knee brace. If you wear a knee brace all the time, or wear a weight belt when you're training, the body actually loses that pathway of recruiting the stabilizing muscles for that. So if you've got a constant position, and don't get me wrong, I have seen clients and many other people who've said they felt that the pain went when they had an arch support. Well, that's because you're being propped up. It's like a crutch, isn't it? So if you were to take those away, then you lose that stability. And the brain's thinking, okay, I'm in the position I need to be in. Why do I need to bother to fire up all the stabilizing muscles? Retrain the muscles. That's why the things like five fingers are really good, because you're training mechanically. It's from an evolutionary perspective. The foot's been around for 4 million years. The training shoe's been around for 50 years. And loads of studies show that when we raise the heel an inch, we introduce 11 degrees of postural tilt. I at university we studied the effects of trainers on force plates, and there's very little difference to this shock absorbing. You need energy stored up in the spine for your next stride when you run. And we see all these patterns: squat, push, pull, bend, twist, lunge, and gait, being able to run and walk. They're very good primal patterns that become disrupted. And when you put something like an arch support in, you're taking your body's ability to communicate that. Train the muscles and you might see that the arch actually starts to develop properly on its own anyway.
Okay, and if you're having trouble with posture and you're looking at getting the sort of right exercise program in place to, realign you, to adjust, but also to get a bit fitter, to get stronger, as you're describing, some of the tools that you may use. Now, I've been hearing about foam rolls, these rollers. What are they?
A great piece of kit. I mean, I get clients to get one because, one, they can do a lot of the work that I would do to them from a structural basis, not all of it, enough to keep them coming back every now and then. But it teaches them to mobilize their own spine. It teaches them to take tension out of the tissues. And if you've got this at home and you know the areas that you need to be working on, they're a great piece of kit. It's empowering clients to say, I know what's wrong. I'm going to take charge of this. I'm going to do this on my own. I've had great advice. I'm a facilitator. And if I can give people 5%, they go and do the other 95% and get the result that they want. Brilliant.
So this, what is it though, this foam roll? What is it exactly? What kind of size is it?
You get different sizes. It is what it says on the tin. It's like, imagine, what's the best way to describe it? It's a foam roll. It's it's about 4 or 6 inches in diameter.
Like you get a float in the swimming pool.
Like
that kind of
bigger,
thing. Right.
Bigger than a noodle. Mm. And they're a lot more they're a lot more firm, so they don't lose their shape. And if you use them every day, you can notice some big differences in the way that you move.
So you are literally rolling over this ball.
Depends. There's certain things you need to be aware of, and the direction of the pressure sometimes. But also, I wouldn't go and start using them on the spine if you haven't had your spine corrected, because if you put it in the wrong position, you could actually do some damage. So buy one, but get shown and how to use it properly, and if you need to be doing that exercise. If you have a straight spine, the last thing you want to be doing is really trying to send it back even straighter. And if you have a rounded curve in the spine, then it's going to be great for you just to mobilize those individual segments of the spine. The middle spine's built for rotation, the lower spine's built for flexion and extension. So if you mobilize the thoracic spine, which loses a lot of its rotation, that's why golfers have a lot of injuries, because they lose rotation in their thoracic spine, the mid part of the back, and the lower spine tends to suffer because it's not built for rotation, and you'll get something called a spondylolisthesis. So get checked out before you start using one, but they are great bits of kit.
Okay, what about checking yourself in the mirror? Look at yourself in the mirror, stand up straight, and just see how straight your spine is or not. Maybe there could be a little bit of a hump there. So when we come back, we're going to be looking at that slouching and also rounded shoulders, and also possibly, we don't like the term hump, but it's like kind of the hump in the back. So how can we straighten that out? We'll be finding out from Keith.